Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
NBA draft week. Grizzlies will be picking second on Thursday night.
Yeah, wonder what they're going to do.
All indications are that Zion Williamson will go number one. Ja Morant will go number two, and he would be introduced next Friday inside FedEx Forum, future point guard of the Memphis Grizzlies. So draft week is always fun. It'll be fun next week. I'm looking forward to it. Enjoy your weekend. I'm going to enjoy mine. If you're a father, have a happy Father's Day. Bennett, have a happy Father's
Day. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Your first Father's Day.
It is.
Have a good one.
You too.
We'll be back Monday at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind, be good, rep your hood.
Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, Colin Granger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps. When it comes to solving my problems, Granger's got my back. Call, click Granger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Granger. For the ones who get it done.
Ready for a change? Join the club. At LA Fitness, we believe showing up is all the initiation you need. Come in and try it out for 5 days on us. Find your nearest location and get a guest pass for you and a friend at LAFitnessMemphis.com.
Make Edwin Watts Golf the place to shop for dads and grads with their summer savings sale happening now. Go faster and farther with the new Callaway Epic Flash Driver with Flash Face technology for more ball speed and distance. Get custom fit for free today. And measure your distance with Bushnell GPS and rangefinders and save up to $70. Choose from the Phantom, the Hybrid, or the Tour V4 Shift. Edwin Watts Golf is your place to shop for the hottest golf gear this summer. Edwin Watts, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
It all starts with just one thing. June is World Oceans Month, a great time to participate in one thing.
It's 6 p.m. in Memphis, and it's time for The 6 on 92.9 FM ESPN with the Jeff Calkins Show.
One story that you have been waiting for is indeed the quick Low Post podcast with Mark Gasol. Again, quick shout out to Blockboy J3 on Twitter for bringing this to my attention. Let's hear it.
Impromptu mini podcast with NBA champion Mark Gasol. How you doing, buddy?
That sounds amazing, huh?
It's pretty good.
Sounds amazing. NBA champion.
So was Pau here?
Nah.
I saw Pau in Toronto.
Yeah, he came up.
Is he happy for you?
He has a wedding, David Lee's wedding on this weekend.
David Lee's wedding?
Yeah, in Italy.
I've heard that's quite. He's marrying to Caroline Wozniak.
Correct. You know, correct. That is correct. So that's a big thing.
Speaking of Rory,
wedding. No, it's because right. Of NBA championship, but it's a pretty big thing.
So,
name dropper.
When? How did you find out you were being traded to the Raptors?
That day, like as soon as it happened, like
your agent calls you. How's the word come?
Steven, you know, kind of allowed, like, let me know that this was a possibility. There was other possibilities along the way. And Rob Perez, the first one that called and said, like, Mark, you know, I accepted the trade. And he gave me a chance, you know, to play on this team. And, you know, I'll forever be thankful for that because he had other options that he could have taken. I thought that, you know, Toronto gave up a lot to have me. But, you know, Robert made it possible.
You get there. Serge is the starting center.
Yeah.
You've played with Serge before on the Spanish national team. You go through this weird period where sometimes he starts, sometimes you start. On a lot of teams, that could have been a problem. For you guys, it was no problem. I think part of the reason is you literally didn't care. You're like, bench, start, whatever. You right? I mean, and he obviously accepted it in the end.
Yeah, it's just the way it played out. The way it was played out. And at the end of the day, we all knew what we were here to do. It was not about, you know, who started the five. It was, you know, it's about us winning a championship or at least making a great run at it. And I think we both understood that. And at times we play together and we play great, you know, in the same unit when we did. It's a team effort. And throughout the playoffs, you saw different guys step up and be crucial. And that's
Fred VanVleet, 22 points.
I don't know how he's walking. I don't want to say anything that, you know, that will get you in trouble in the podcast. But he has some huge watermelons.
Yeah,
the size of a watermelon.
Yeah,
and he's just you know, he's tough son of a gun.
You hit him for that corner three when you almost traveled. You had a wide open.
Oh man,
you had a dunk. Just
waiting
for
big
you.
Big dummy. They did a great job of being in and building out as soon as they caught it because they know I'm a willing passer, and I told the guys like next one I'm rolling all the way in after that play after Freddie, but I wasn't in that much.
Can you go back to Memphis and celebrate somehow? I feel like the city of Memphis
the city's
was cheering
right here
for you.
Oh, no question. The city, the whole state, the tri-state area, Arkansas, Mississippi, everyone that has been around the Grizzlies, I think is here. They're here with me.
Did you hear
me.
From Mike yet?
I haven't checked my phone. Like I honestly have my phone, like all my notifications off. Like I don't get texts. I don't get WhatsApps. I only get calls. So if you want to hear from me, you got to give me a call.
So this worked out very well. Congratulations.
Oh, man.
Maybe we'll see you in Toronto next year. Who knows? You got a decision to make on that.
I'm the next couple of weeks is going to be, you know, about celebrating and enjoying and you know, icing everything. Right now, I'm exhausted.
I bet you. Look, 7 against Philly, 6 against the Bucks. It's a long playoff run, man.
It's draining. I never imagined being that draining physically and mentally. It's draining.
When are you going back to Spain?
I don't know.
Go get some tapas, drink some wine, relax.
I'm definitely going to enjoy the sailing and be in a boat for a couple days.
Well, it's as a longtime fan of yours, it's awesome to see you win. Congratulations on an NBA title, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Now, it's Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian on the Grizzlies and Beyond. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show.
Chris, what are we listening to?
A little instrumental prompt of Whoop That Trick in honor of Marc Gasol winning a title. And then later on, apparently on NBA TV or somewhere, recounting that the Whoop That Trick days of the Grizzlies.
We'll get to Marc Gasol in just a moment.
Memories right there.
We'll get to Marc in just a moment because there are some questions I want to ask you. But I wanted to start with the news that we got yesterday, indeed, that Jonas Valanciunas has indeed opted out. Included in Adrian Wojnarowski's report is it was widely expected that the Grizzlies and Valanciunas would be working to secure a long-term deal. What'd you read into that?
I thought he was more likely to opt in, but what I really expected, I think I said this yesterday on the show, what I didn't think, and I still don't think, that he would opt out unless he knew what the outcome was. What I didn't think he would do was go into free agency, into the open free agent market. And so I tend to the reporting suggests that, A, it was my belief that he would not opt out unless he had some understanding with the Grizzlies.
Correct.
And then the reporting sort of implied that. It was his primary intention is re-signing with the Grizzlies. And that Grizzlies exec Zach Kleiman and Valanciunas' agent Leon Rose are expected, I remember how it was worded, are expected to aggressively work on finding a path. And so my expectation is like that the path is probably already pretty clear. I don't know that for certain. And it gets into tricky territory because under league rules,
sure.
If he were to have opted in yesterday, he could have signed an extension immediately. For 2 more years on top of what he opted into. When he opts out and goes into free agency, legally they can't negotiate a new deal until June 30th. And he can't sign one until July 6th. And so this is sort of it's common around the league for there to be, you know, wink wink agreements, and people don't really care that much when you're re-signing your own player anyway. And so I'm not telling you for certain like they know what the contract is. But the implication to me from yesterday is they have a pretty good idea of the end game, and the end game is a multiple-year contract to come back to the Grizzlies.
Right, because in general, it would not make sense to give up $17.6 million and then just go on
unless you had good certainty that there was a deal out there. It doesn't have to be from the Grizzlies, but that there's a deal out there that warrants opting out. And when the reporting is his intention is to re-sign with the Grizzlies, that tells me that the deal that they have faith is out there is a deal from the Grizzlies. And so that is my assumption. If that is true, it raises the question of why opt out instead of extend, instead of opt in and extend, right? If the end game is a multiple-year deal with the Grizzlies, you don't have to opt out to do that. He could have opted in and extended for two more years on top of that. And so why would you opt out instead if that's the end game? And to me, there's two reasons, potential reasons, and it could be both. One of them could be to get a fourth year, because if you extend, it can only go to three. If you opt out, you could actually go to five, which I can't imagine would happen, but maybe you would go to four. And that would be a reason for Valanciunas to want to do it that way. But there's a reason for the Grizzlies to want to do it that way, and that's if they want the starting salary to drop down.
Right.
You can do, let's just, like I did this in my column today, let's just pick a number, right? Let's say, like Zach Randolph did this, right? Zach Randolph was had in 2014 had a player option for yep. $16.5 million. He opted in to the $16.5 and he signed an extension for two more years at $10 million each.
Per, yep.
So that made that a three-year contract for $36.5 million. Well, If it's going to be a three-year contract for $36.5 in the Zach Randolph situation, he could opt it out and sign the same deal, but it would have been structured differently. Maybe it started at 12 and worked up, right?
Right.
And so whatever the total deal is, if it's a three-year deal, you could do it either way. And if you're doing it the opt-out way, that tells me the Grizzlies may want the starting number to be lower. And maybe that's related to what other business they're trying to conduct this summer.
In terms of centers in the NBA, much like Jonas, a center that doesn't, or at least thus far, has not shown the ability to consistently shoot the three.
Yeah, I know that's a late-breaking skill, and it happened for Brooke Lopez. I wouldn't have a lot of
hope
that's going to happen for Jonas.
Though, if you're out there holding your breath, don't.
I don't think he's going to turn into Brooke Lopez and be knocking down five or six threes a game. I don't think he has that level of touch.
In your opinion, what's a number that makes sense for Jonas Valanciunas?
Well, this is sort of the problem area is, and I asked the question on Twitter, and then I tried to think about it when I wrote, what is the Venn diagram overlap, right?
Yeah.
You have one big circle that is, these are contracts that financially are worth giving up the 17.6 to sign.
Right.
And this other big circle is that these are contracts that would make sense for the Grizzlies.
Right.
And where do they overlap?
Where do they meet in the middle, yeah.
And my sense is that overlap is fairly small. And from my perspective, I don't know if there is an overlap, but from the perspective of the Grizzlies and Valanciunas, maybe there might be. And so, I mean, I think you have to think about it in terms of this. If he's setting aside $17.6 million, then in order to sign a new deal, you have to think about what could have happened if he would opted in and gone into free agency next summer.
Correct.
Right? So let's say he pockets the $17.6, plays a year, goes into free agency next summer. Like, what does he think is the floor of what he's going to get? Now, what the actual floor is probably not what he thinks the floor is.
Right.
But I would have to assume to him, he thinks, well, at bare minimum, I'll get a mid-level exception.
That
from
was
somebody,
my exact thought.
Right?
At least, you know, somewhere between 9 and 10, just to say easy, just say it's 10. Right.
So if he signed, if he opted in, played next year for the 17.6, and went into free agency next summer and signed, say, a two-year deal for the mid-level,
sure.
That's about another $20 million. So you're looking at a three-year deal for about $38 million. And so to me, I have to think that is the floor for a deal that he would be willing to opt out for. 338. So I think that's a floor, I would think, from his perspective. So I assume whatever they do is going to be above that. And so maybe it's I threw out 342.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, 3 years at is that 12 million? No, 14 million per.
Yeah.
Or maybe a 452. I think if you go out to a fourth year, I mean, you'll bring the per year number down.
That was what I figured.
But somewhere in that area.
Yeah. To me, it was, you know, give or take, it felt like 12 million's kind of maybe where they would have.
See, I almost think it has to be higher unless it's a four-year deal.
Yeah.
A four-year deal at $12 million per would be a 448. I could see that happening, maybe. Yeah, I mean, I think you're in that range, right? But the idea of, I saw some people on Twitter say, well, I wouldn't pay him more than $10 million a year. Well, that's not going to happen because he's already opted out of 17.6.
Sure. Yes.
And so he's not doing anything that's a $10 million a year deal. If he were just a pure free agent in an open market, that it might end up that if the market went the wrong way for him. But my assumption, and I don't know this for a fact, but my assumption is he's opting out because he has some level of understanding that he is not going into an open market. He's going into a negotiation with the Grizzlies that he perceives will be in good faith towards an outcome.
Does a 3 or 4 year deal, I mean, because at the minimum we know it's going to be probably at least a 3 year deal. Does a 4 year deal make sense? Like
I would be reluctant to do a 4 year deal for Valanciunas unless it was much lower than the numbers we're talking.
Right.
because Jaren Jackson Jr. will be under a rookie contract for three more seasons. So if you do a three-year deal, it lines up with that, and that money comes off when Jaren Jackson goes into free agency, restricted free agency. At that point, you don't have the financial complication of this other, like,
right.
$10 million plus, deal on the books. You also don't have that roster complication of figuring out which way you want to go with your team. I mean, there's a lot of people who say, like, you hired this new coach from Milwaukee and Atlanta, and Jaren Jackson Jr. is the classic modern center, and you're going to play small ball. I think you may get to that, but I have never been a believer that you go whole hog into that immediately, because Jaren Jackson Jr. is still today 19 years old. He is thin. He's still developing physically, and he is still very foul prone. And so I don't think you're going to throw him into being a primary center next season. I think you got years to work up to that. And so I think it makes sense to have a good physical center in the mix with him. But I think for the next couple of years, it makes sense to have probably a good physical center in the starting lineup with him. That may change as he's going into the contract number two, and that's when I wouldn't want to have Valanciunas on my books necessarily.
Does Valanciunas make sense with Taylor Jenkins? Because we were discussing with Arnovitz yesterday, and obviously you can't just sit there and go, okay, this is my system, if you don't fit my system and whatnot.
Well, we don't know. We make assumptions about assistants, right?
Sure.
And so when they hired Mark Averone, it was like, we're getting 7 seconds or less. That's not what you got, right? You got a guy who wasn't a very good coach. But you also didn't get that system necessarily. And so just because I think in terms of broad principle, you're going to see a shift towards faster pace. And I think no matter what you do, if you have John Moran as your point guard, you got to shift hard.
You need him in transition.
You shift hard to a faster pace. So I think you'll shift towards a faster pace. You'll shift towards more threes because, like, everyone is. And there's not going to be any resistance to that when you have nothing coming back, really, from the old regime on the court or off significantly. And you're going to make use of Jaren Jackson Jr.'s versatility. So I think it is clearly going to shift in all these directions we're talking about. I don't know if that means it shifts exclusively into that. I suspect, and I haven't talked to Taylor Jenkins more than that press conference. I'm actually going to talk to him later today, I think. And I may get into some of this with him when I do. But I don't know that it's an all or nothing ironclad dive into the deep end of a certain system in which Jonas Valanciunas could not be a part. I don't necessarily think that's the case.
We're talking, of course, with Chris Harrington right here on the Jeff Calkins Show. Chris's latest notebook is up over at the Daily Memphian. Also, Chris has done a Grizzlies podcast with the Ringer's Jonathan Charks. I did not realize this, Chris, until today. Jonathan Charks went to St. Mark's with Taylor Jenkins.
He was, I believe, a sophomore when Jenkins was a senior, or maybe a freshman when Jenkins was a senior. Jonathan was on JV, was a JV basketball player when Jenkins was a varsity starter. And so they never played together on the same team, but they knew each other in high school. And so he gave me a little scouting report on Jenkins. It was sort of funny. He said, when he got the internship with the Spurs, remember that was like 12 years ago or whatever. He said when he got the internship with the Spurs.
I think 2007 is what they said,
And this is before Jonathan Charks was an NBA writer or whatever. Like, when he got the internship with the Spurs, like, all the guys from the old high school were like, wow, did you see that?
Like, that's what's going on,
what's going on with Taylor,
Like, when you still have that high school gossip ring. Of course, that podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Check out more Daily Memphian podcasts at the OAM Network. But again, the latest is up with Jonathan Charks. Last night, the Toronto Raptors win the NBA championship. Let's start here. We'll get to Mark momentarily, but how much do you think not only the Kevin Durant ruptured Achilles injury, this ACL surgery for Klay, you got to think he's at least out at the minimum until
February
or March. Where does that put Golden State? Because, like, to me, like, I don't even know. Do you sit there and go, okay, well, maybe now we completely reevaluate and maybe we go back to Durant and say, let's get this done. Let's see if we can keep everyone. And then in 2 years' time, we make it. But this becomes fascinating to me.
My assumption is they re-sign Klay, probably to a max, even with the injury. And with Durant, I certainly think they make an offer for Durant to stay. Did they offer him like a full max all the years? I don't know about that, because the luxury tax situation in Golden State, if they keep all these guys, and I know, like, they've been making money hand over fist and they're whatever, but it's going to get through the roof because you have these repeater taxes and all this stuff comes up, and it's gonna be outrageous to keep that team together financially for a team that's probably not may not win, be a title contender, right?
I mean, what are they next year?
Windhorst reported late last night they were going to reportedly offer both of them the max, which would push them to 350 for the total cap, I guess, or whatever for the.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they just decided that because they're like, what the hell are we going to do from a PR perspective now?
The luxury tax line next season
is
$130 million.
Yeah, I mean, it's like way over, but, you know.
That is three times. Holy cow!
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they just got to take the bullet. I mean, you PR stuff, you know.
God, I need some Silicon Valley money.
So I think Clay will be back. I think Durant will have options even out for the year, he's going to have options. And there's a lot of reporting that he may still, you know, go to the Knicks or the Nets or whatever. I think what it does short-term for – because even if they re-sign those guys, Durant's not playing next year anyway.
Correct.
And Clay's not playing half the season, right? And so I think what it does next season is it really opens up the Western Conference in an interesting way. I don't think it takes Golden State off the board in the Western Conference because Steph Curry is still one of the five or six best players in the world. And if you have one of the five or six best players in the world – you're probably going to be a contender unless, like, you're the Lakers with LeBron James, right?
Yes. I mean, I think, especially when it's a guy like Steph that puts so much pressure on opponents.
Yeah.
And to me, like, that makes sense. But at the same time, I think one of the most fascinating questions is, what does the West look like next year?
I feel like, and I haven't seen anyone say this, and so I don't know. I have no intel on the wider free agent stuff. But my hunch is that this was a good couple of days for Southern California next season.
I think so, too.
Because I think Kawhi was extremely noncommittal last night about his future.
It's weird how, and again, I understand you're trying to read into a robot, but I don't know, like, my hunch was, like, when I'm just seeing that, I was like, man, he's gone.
I could see a scenario easily where Kawhi Leonard signs with the Clippers.
Yes.
And even if they don't do anything else but add him to what they have coming back, that's probably a contender in the West next season, right?
Sure.
So I could see a scenario where Kawhi goes to the Clippers and that the Lakers finally get an Anthony Davis deal done. And as much of a mess as the Lakers are, if you just start with LeBron James and Anthony Davis in next year's Western Conference, you're in the mix, right? And so I think both those teams are on the way up. I think, you know, Houston might as well try to run it back next season. And then I think it'll be interesting to see what, like, a team like Utah, like, maybe it's time, and like, their assets didn't change, so it may not be the best deal out there. But, like, it's time to try to go get Mike Conley, right? And have Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles and Rudy Gobert and, like, why not us? Why can't that team come out of the West next year?
Well, and to your point, to me, it's the – if it is true that, indeed, the Lakers are really hung up on Kyle Kuzma to get Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that's posturing.
Like, I would hope so because if Kyle Kuzma ends up being the reason why you don't get Anthony Davis –
now, if I'm the Lakers, you know, your assets are Kuzma, Ball, Ingram, and the number four pick, basically. Those are the four assets that matter. Am I trying to get Davis while holding back one of those four things? Yeah, because you still got to put a team around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and whether it's one of those players or you're using that player for something else, I'm very much trying to do that, but I'm not trying to do that to the point that I don't get a deal done.
What do you make of my theory that I know all the reports about Kyrie either going to Brooklyn and New York. I don't know, man. Like, I just keep seeing the making of
Lakers.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I mean, to me, they have the room to do that, correct? They have the room for...
I'd have to go back and look. It depends. I don't think they could outright sign two players.
Sure.
But if you're giving up a lot of the players on the roster in a trade, and then, I mean, I don't think... If they make a trade for Anthony Davis, like, they still got cap room. How is it max cap room? That, I'm not certain. But that would be your ideal scenario, is you trade for Anthony Davis and you go out and sign Kyrie Irving, probably most likely, Kemba Walker, you know,
Kemba's now
like
saying
that.
He would take a little bit less money in Charlotte, which...
I mean, that's got to make you happy for the Grizzlies, I think, because if... I'll believe that happens when I see it.
Agreed.
but if Kemba Walker stays in Charlotte, that takes one of the two top point guards off the board in a volatile point guard market, and that raises. I think this has also been. It's been a good week for Southern California next season. I think it's been a pretty good week for the Grizzlies if there's in terms of a Mike Conley trade market, because if Kemba does stay in Charlotte, that takes one of the main point guards off the board, and I think things looking so much more wide open expands the range of teams who can talk themselves into, hey, we're a Mike Conley away from a title.
Right, because almost. Last night almost kind of like solidifies the idea of, okay, maybe it's not a long-term fix, but if if we go all in this year, it's not impossible to get it done. Like, yeah, things broke Toronto's way, but Toronto went all in, and they're sitting here with the championship.
I mean, I don't know if this is the deal I'd want to do if I'm the Grizzlies, but, like, if let's say Kyrie goes to Brooklyn or New York, and let's say an Anthony Davis trade happens and it sends him to Los Angeles, what do you do if you're the Celtics sitting there? If you can say, I can get Mike Conley without breaking up any of my core, which they might be able to do if it's Gordon Hayward and draft picks, then add Mike Conley to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Al Horford, and, like, why not us next year in the East? Especially if Kawhi's going to the Clippers. So
sure.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Kawhi goes to the Clippers. Anthony Davis gets traded to the Lakers. Kyrie Irving leaves Boston to go East. Boston does not have cap space. They can't go out and sign someone to replace Kyrie Irving. Why not trade for Mike Conley, throw him with what you got left over, and say, why not us? Why can't we? I mean, Toronto's not coming out. Kawhi left. Why not us?
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Milwaukee's still unproven. Like,
Milwaukee's probably going to lose somebody because Milwaukee has Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, Nikola Mirotic, and Brooke Lopez all in free agency. At least one of those guys is gone, right?
Wow.
They may lose two.
Mm. It's fascinating. It's weird how almost
there's going to be 20 teams that think they can.
Get, I know.
This is why you use
the
rentals.
Grizzlies are not going to be one of them.
This is why you should use rentals.
But at least they're acknowledging this year that they're not one of them.
No, the Grizzlies will be fine. It'll be this wild, wide open in the NBA, and the Grizzlies will be one of these teams that's like, okay, we got next. Give us a couple years. They'll be there with Atlanta and with Sacramento, and these teams are like, oh, they're building something over here, you know?
Yeah, it's
the depressing places are going to be like Charlotte. Even if Kemba comes back, they'll be depressing.
No, it's still depressing.
If Kemba leaves, it'll be even more depressing.
Like Miami's depressing.
Miami could be depressing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you'll have a lot of teams that think they got a shot, and they'll have fun seasons. And a lot of teams, like the ones I mentioned, Atlanta and Sacramento, Memphis, who are like,
Dallas, we're
really building something.
Yeah.
Dallas. And they'll be fun. They'll just be this handful of teams that are stuck in the middle, and those teams won't be fun.
How good is a team? I mean, I presume if the Lakers are going to get this done, their bench is going to be very G League adjacent. But
yeah.
But if you get Kyrie, if you get Anthony Davis and LeBron, how good is that?
That's a team that you say, why shouldn't we win a title? That team will be
and
among the favorites.
You pray to everything holy. Do not let anyone get hurt.
That will be among the team's favorite to win a title. Easily.
Yeah.
Those three players and then 12 other guys who are among the 450 NBA players, right? Like, whoever they have, like, it won't be good, but they'll be NBA players.
Right.
Only 450 of them in the world, so you'll have, like, 12 more of them, right?
You try to get as many replacement-level guys.
You're going out, and you're like, hey, Joakim Noah, man, come take a minimum.
You look good, buddy.
Yeah, do that kind of thing,
hey, we told you, hey, you know, Disney Museum's over here. I mean, there's lots of great art for you, just making the full sales pitch to them.
Right.
But just unbelievable. Talking, of course, with Chris Harrington.
Maybe Pau Gasol returns to the Lakers.
Oh, my God. Off surgery?
On a minimum. It'll be that kind of stuff.
Pau pulls a Manning brother. You let one win a championship, and so you got to one-up him and go win
it
the next year.
Time for Mike Miller to come out of retirement.
Oh, my God.
He does have a close relationship with LeBron.
Right.
I bet he can still shoot. I'm still willing to bet that. All right, let's discuss what we saw last night from the Toronto Raptors. Let's go with Mark.
He had a bad game. Let's just admit that. He had a bad game. They would not
Who
have
was
won,
worse?
They
Who,
would not have won a title without him. Totally. But
this was
not
what I was trying
closeout.
To determine. The one thing I could say about both Mark and Danny Green last night was they showed up.
Yes.
Like, they were there. They were in person and dressed out, ready to go.
They
were both not good.
They both had up and down postseasons, and they ended on downs, except for like winning a title. But they had their moments throughout. Mark had some good games in the finals. He just wasn't last night.
And Danny Green, I like to think Danny Green was a key aspect to telling the best story possible. When you throw that ball out of bounds with 19 seconds left, and all, just hold it till you get fouled. Hold it till you get fouled.
I mean, he was in a bad spot.
When you catch the
ball there in the corner, right?
It was a bad spot, but
yeah.
He didn't make it better.
No.
It was a bad spot. He didn't make it better. But where are you in terms of, you know, well, for Toronto, the Marc Gasol deal works, right? Even though he didn't play great last night, it still worked.
You got a title.
Yeah.
Everything worked. You got a title.
Yeah. Everything's rainbows and sunshine.
Right.
Like, what is this? What does this do for Mark next year?
Oh, he's got a player option, which will be interesting. My assumption, sometimes you think, well, you just want a title, like cash in, right?
Right.
His player option is 26 0.5,
oh,
I think.
Oh. Speaking of cashing in.
Right. I think Toronto is a place where he's probably pretty happy among, you know, like, what's it, if he opts out, like, where's he going to sign, right? Even if they lose Kawhi, they're probably still a playoff team, right? Not a title contender, but probably still a playoff team.
Oh, yeah.
And so my assumption is that he would opt in, but you never know with this stuff. I haven't seen any intel, any reporting on that. My assumption is he would be likely to opt in and be back in Toronto on the 1 year, 26.5, and he'll be in the last year, and then Kyle Lowry will be in the last year, and they'll just, you know, it'll be a honeymoon year.
Do you think what the Raptors were able to do will kind of motivate, you know, as you mentioned, like Boston? Does it motivate teams to sit there and go?
It's funny you would say Boston. I saw someone tweet this, and it's totally true. Someone, I don't know who it was. It was retweeted into my feed, and it was, Masai Ujiri just did what y'all thought Danny Ainge was doing.
Right. Danny Ainge is actually very risk-averse.
Yes.
He's incredibly risk-averse.
We throw the genius tag all over Danny Ainge. It's like, you know, he's building assets, and he'll make his strike. That's what Masai Ujiri did.
That dude sits there and goes, I don't care if it's only for 1 year for Kawhi Leonard. I still get Kawhi Leonard. Let's go.
He drafted well. He traded well. He built up the talent base of the team to the point that, A, he had the assets to make the big splash. And even with using assets to make the big splash, he had enough left over to be a title team. And that's the trick, right? You can pull all your assets to trade for the star, but you have enough left that the star can play with to be a title team, right? And everyone thought, like, that's what Boston's doing, because they had all these draft picks, all these young players. They're going to be able to trade for a star and still have the core of a title team for that star to come into, and they haven't done it yet. Toronto just did it last season.
It's fascinating because there's so many people that would sit there and go, well, you know, why would you do this? You know, what if it doesn't work out? The odds of you winning a title, you know, everyone goes, it's the Warriors' title unless someone gets hurt. Well, not only did someone get hurt, two people got hurt.
He might leave too.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's worth it.
He and Kawhi might both be like, you know, take their ring and go off to the sunset, and people aren't gonna be mad about it.
Because this is what I was trying to think about last
night. They'll be drunk in Toronto for the next year.
In fairness, Canada doesn't really get the, like, everyone goes, oh, they're so nice. To which I always like to point out, have y'all been there? They're just drunk all the time.
Right.
Like,
right.
They're functional alcoholics, like, up there. Like,
This happens as you move north.
Right, exactly. Farther north you go.
I mean, I lived in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
So you go into the old neighborhoods. There's corner bars in residential neighborhoods, right? Everywhere.
No, literally the local watering hole. Yes.
Like, every residential neighborhood, there's, like, a bar on the corner. It's not corner stores. It's corner bars.
Yeah. It's like, it's cold outside. What are we going to do?
They're better for it.
Guess we're going to get drunk.
Wisconsin is the drunkest state in the country.
Yeah.
That's scientifically proven.
Yes.
And so as you move into Canada, like, you know, you got that vibe going on.
Yes. So everyone's like, oh, they're just so nice. Like, well, yeah, I mean, this is just going to be a continuation for them.
I've seen Strange Brew. I know about Canada and beer.
It's so very true. So very true. I guess the bigger deal is, you know, you see Daryl Morey has this, if you got a 5% chance of winning a title, you go all in.
Right.
And the Raptors had a 2.5% chance of winning a title before the season, and Ujiri just goes, screw it, we're going all in. Like, it is fascinating to me.
The title was best case, but they were going to be thrilled to get to the finals, right?
Yes.
And when you're in the East, like, the path is even clearer than that, right? They weren't having to get through the Warriors to get to the finals. And so I think they would have been happy, even if they lost the series, this would have been an enormously successful season. Even if Kawhi leaves after 1 year, just because they got to the, they'd never been to the finals before.
No, I mean, and the perfect year. LeBron leaves. It's now open. It's now or never. Let's make all the moves. You know, he fires his coach, hires a new coach that's never been an NBA head coach and goes all in. More on that in just a minute. But I guess the bigger question for me is, I was trying to remember, the Kansas City Royals sold out to win a title in, was that 2014? 2014 or 15.
I know much more about the 85 Royals than I do the 2014 Royals.
In general, when you kind of sell out and you make deadline deals, like, there are more examples of it just falling flat on its face and not working out. I am curious, was that a good move? Was that good for Adam Silver in the league last night as he's trying to champion the whole, you want to win. Like, I don't want fans to root for losses and whatnot. Like, is that a good thing that happened last night?
I think so, yeah, because, I mean, the last few years we've had this sort of inevitability at the start of the season, oh, the Warriors are going to win again. Like,
yes,
we go through the motions and the Warriors are going to win again.
More than ever.
And so I think breaking that up, that's why Durant going to Golden State to me was not good for the league in the
first. Completely agree.
Right? And so A, you broke that up, and so and then now we know we're going into next season where there will not be, unless the offseason breaks in a way that's totally unexpected, there's not going to be an overwhelming title favorite going into next season. It's going to be as scattered as it's been going into a season in years. I mean, I can remember when the last time would be, because you had all the Miami teams that were sort of felt inevitable before the Golden State teams.
And that's what I think will be interesting to watch, because to me, that's way more fascinating.
Yeah.
But in general, like, the masses want to just see the star. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, you do have that. And so we'll see. And now you won't have Durant next season.
No.
You will more than likely have LeBron back on a playoff level team, and maybe that helps. I don't know. Giannis Antetokounmpo is about to win the MVP. I don't know if he really has broken through to casual people as a star. Like, if he'd gotten to the finals, maybe he would have more. But I think, you know, winning 60 games, winning MVP, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't know if he really broke through to casual fans.
I completely agree. And it was also kind of the way the Eastern Conference Finals, with them losing four straight games, and he didn't really play particularly well. Right. Like, he didn't dominate.
You'll have LeBron back on a team that matters, I think, next season. You'll have Anthony Davis playing basketball next season. That'll be a novelty, right? I think Philadelphia could, depending on how the summer goes, they could be the favorite next season.
I actually think that was kind of my big picture.
That's a big market.
Well, that was kind of my big picture take from the playoffs. The amount of overreaction we did after Philly lost game seven was so misplaced. They are a ball that bounces four times away from perhaps playing for a title.
If Kawhi leaves to go to the Clippers, if Milwaukee loses one or two pieces, and Philly brings that, and they may not bring that core back because Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler are both free agents. But if they bring that core back and, like, make a decent addition or two to add more depth to it, they could easily be the favorite in not only in the East, but maybe in the league next year.
All right, and then lastly, I thought this was interesting. So now that Nick Nurse has now won a title, the last three teams to win championships, the Warriors, the Cavs, and now the Raptors, all three did it with first-year head coaches.
Was Lou the coach when the Cavs broke through?
Remember they fired Blatt mid-season, or whatever. Right. I don't know if it was probably before mid-season. They fire Blatt, they bring in Lou, and so he won with the Cavs, and that was his first season.
And Kerr replaced Mark Jackson, who had taken them to the playoffs.
Correct.
And then Nurse replaces Dwayne Casey, who was coach of the year.
Correct.
And so, it's very similar to, remember that one summer, the summer that the Grizzlies got rid of Lionel Hollins was the same summer the Clippers got rid of Vinny Del Negro after the best season in franchise history.
Most wins in franchises.
And the Nuggets got rid of George Karl after they'd won like 56, 57 games. So all three happened the same time, and people lost their minds, not only in Memphis, but around the league. Like, what are these teams doing? Like, getting rid of these great coaches. I think Jeff Van Gundy probably had a heart attack that summer, right? And so, and then you see, what's happened here. Now, do I think they could have won a title with Dwayne Casey as coach? I do. I think the real move.
Dwayne didn't have Kawhi.
Yeah, the move there was DeMar DeRozan, but it's DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard. Right. That was the move. And so I don't think it's a guarantee that Dwayne Casey would have navigated them to that title, but I don't assume that he couldn't either.
No, to me, it proves what you and I have been talking about. Like, in the end, inevitably, it's the roster.
Right.
Like, I do think coaches can. I think coaches.
They matter on the margins.
Yeah, I think.
And the margins are important.
Exactly, but, especially at that level. Like, one or two games could be the difference of whether or not you win a title. I mean, if Toronto loses in game, an extra game in the Eastern Conference semifinals, they're not even here. And maybe we're talking about Philly winning a title, or maybe we're talking about another title for Golden State. Like, you're 100% right. But to me, what it really boils down to is, like, I think coaches can tank teams way more than I think they can elevate them. Like, I don't think there's some scheme wizard out there that's going to come up with some offense that's going to change the NBA.
The Golden State thing would be the counterexample potentially, because Kerr didn't win with Durant initially. They won title before Durant, right? He won with essentially the same team that Mark Jackson had, and he did change the way that team played. Now, some people say he lucked into that. Like, David Lee got hurt, and that's why Draymond Green elevated. And you could say, well, if that hadn't happened, they would have never discovered what Draymond Green really was. I don't know if that's true or not. But Kerr did change offensively what they did. He went from the more traditional play that Mark Jackson was doing to unleashing the whole Splash Brothers thing. And it could be that that coaching change really did have a mammoth effect.
I try not to do broadcast takes, because I just, in general, unless something funny happens, I just think it's just kind of ridiculous. But Mark Jackson, like, freaking out about the lineups that Golden State had on the floor after Klay got hurt. I'm sitting there, like, who do you want him to put on?
Who's supposed to be out there?
I mean, that's
part of the story of Golden State, and that's part of what happens when you have so much money tied into three or four stars. You know, their depth disintegrated over time. And the back half of that roster is just not what it was a few years ago. And partly that's because the good players weren't as good anymore. Iguodala was really good last night, but over the course of the season, he hasn't been what he was a few years ago. And Sean Livingston is not what he was. And, you know, you go on down.
Quinn Cook, turns out he is Quinn Cook.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the back half of that roster, and as soon as Quinn Cook and Jordan Bell and Alonzo McKinney and whatever, like that, those are replacement level NBA players, basically.
Chris, we appreciate it.
Coming up next on The Six.
Klay Thompson, if he stays healthy, doesn't get hurt, and they come back and win that series, I'm going to tell you right now, Klay Thompson's probably going to win the MVP of the finals. And Steph Curry would have four rings without a finals MVP, and he's the key to the whole thing.
The Six continues with that next on 92.9 FM ESPN. This is Memphis's Radio.com sports station. Download the Radio.com app on your phone and favorite 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
Happy Father's Day, everyone.
Happy Father's Day.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN.
I could tell my father Happy Father's Day.
Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com.
Hey, this is John Martin. I'm back to tell you about my favorite spot in Memphis, the Blue Monkey. In case you've forgotten, and you shouldn't forget, they have great burgers, some of the best in Memphis, especially the barbecue bacon burger with black Angus meat topped with melted cheddar cheese, crisp bacon, and tangy barbecue sauce. And also, don't forget steak night every Tuesday at the downtown location and Thursday at the midtown location. They offer a 7 or 10 ounce filet or 12 ounce and 16 ounce prime rib that is slow roasted and just plain awesome. On steak night, they also feature a choice of salad and a side. They got house made ranch dressing and the twice baked potato. I recommend both. They got two locations, 513 South Front Street downtown and 2012 Madison Avenue in Midtown. And find them on the web at bluemonkeymemphis.com.
Live team trivia and karaoke every Wednesday and Thursday. Bring a team and win some green. Live music at the Blue Monkey Midtown on Friday night, Josephus and the George Jonestown Massacre. Saturday, it's Los Contadores.
Learning how to kayak in a bay off the Oregon coast and almost getting capsized by a 40-ton whale. Check. Whatever you're getting ready for, come into Supercuts. Supercuts stylists pay attention to every detail so you get the haircut you want. And with our signature hot towel finish, you'll walk out feeling clean, sharp, and not just ready, but super ready. Supercuts.
Stay ready to go all summer long.
Is there a room in your house that never seems to cool or heat the way you think it should? Then a Mitsubishi ductless system may be a solution for you. Hi, this is Lauren Choate with Choate's Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. Ductless systems are relatively new to the United States, but Mitsubishi ductless systems are a proven energy saver because the system does not have any ductwork, so it can blow colder air in the summer and warmer air in the winter. Mitsubishi's inverter-driven compressors automatically adjust to your cooling or heating demands to deliver ideal comfort while only using the energy that is needed. No more, no less. Do you have a bonus room, sunroom, or master bedroom that never cools right? Maybe a new addition to your home or a garage you want heated or cooled. Now you can do it efficiently. Call Choate's today at 755-4797 or visit our website at choateshvac.com to schedule your free estimate. And remember, Choate's, let our family serve your family.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. 30% of Americans who are planning home improvements of $5,000 or more will pay for those renovations with a high-interest credit card. That may not be a great idea. A better idea may be to take cash out of your home with a Quicken Loans 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.375%, APR 4.65%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate subject to change. Pay 2.13% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
92.9 presents the official Jason and John Memphis Draft Party on Thursday night, June 20th, from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Join 92.9's Jason and John and watch the NBA Draft at our Draft Party at The Bluff on Highland with Grizzly Bear Blues, SB Nation, and Joe Mullinax, along with I Love Memphis's Holly Whitfield. The 2019 NBA Draft Party at The Bluff on Highland on Thursday night, June 20th, with 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station. Now, back to The Six with the Jason and John Show.
He is Tim Legler, ESPN NBA analyst. He joins us now. Legs, what's going on, man?
What's happening? Man. How are you guys?
Oh, we're good, man. Appreciate your time,
Thank
as
you so
always.
Much for this.
Get right to it. We live in an age, Legs, as you know, where if you are not contending for an NBA championship, you have to blow it up. Like, that's just the way it works. There's no in-between. The Raptors, on the other end, have just been good, right? They've not been able to get out of the Eastern Conference. They've just been good for what feels like forever. Did they show last night that there is another way to do this, that you can remain good, stay consistent, and then catch a couple breaks and do this thing?
Man, I don't know if I would say this is now like a different type of blueprint than what the NBA has become. Mm-hmm. I just think this was a perfect scenario for this to happen, and I mean that from this standpoint. There aren't a lot of teams that it makes sense to go all in on a one-year rental potentially for a player when you're moving the guy that's the face of your franchise. Like, very few situations would you say, yeah, that makes sense. That's mm-hmm. worth the risk. This one made all the sense in the world because this was a 59-win team. They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. They had been good and relevant for a handful of years, but you had a situation in which they knew there was a ceiling with DeMar DeRozan as their best player. Kawhi Leonard is a guy that you go after in that situation because even if it doesn't work out and you don't win a title and you have to reload if he leaves town, at least you've given it your best shot because you already know what the best was with DeMar DeRozan and mm-hmm. it was not going to be this.
Yep.
So for me, it made a lot of sense. I still think that you're going to see guys consistently pairing up around the league in free agency and trying to, you know, find new teams and new challenges to go take on together. So I don't know that what they just did is actually going to be able to be replicated because there are very few teams that I would say it makes sense to take that kind of risk.
Right.
And let's see if somebody's willing to do that now with Anthony Davis. I mean, you know, it's kind of a similar situation, you know, but you look at a team like Boston, for instance, and you say, I don't know, it's not like they've never won a championship. They got a ton of banners hanging up, and they're trying to get long-term success, so that doesn't make sense. They're not desperate to win a title. In Toronto's case, it was now or never. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go get this player and see if he could get you over the top to the finals. And, you know, he did that. He got him a championship.
And I'm just to stick on this real quick, Tim, because I got so many questions about the game. But because we're here, if you're Danny Ainge, right, and that's where we're at right now, it feels a little bit different because they're telling you it's only going to be for one, even if it's just talk. I mean, than Kawhi was, right? Because, and I mean, Dad's come out and said, I don't want to be there, and Anthony hadn't shown any sign that he wants to be there. Isn't it a little bit different in terms of taking that gamble with Davis?
Yeah, see, I think it's a different scenario because you know, the fact that he hasn't said it, but his representation.
Yes.
When they've come out as strongly and as vocally as they have and saying, telling you right now, the guy's going to free agency. Yep. Don't waste your time. His father has made comments about not wanting him in Boston long term. Like,
right.
You get those kind of red flag warnings, it's really buyer beware at that point. That wasn't the case with Kawhi Leonard. He didn't put out those kind of mandates
exactly.
and you know, draw a line in the sand. He was willing to accept going there and doing the best he could and wanted to do something special, and he accomplished it. I think all along, the people in Toronto were hoping, hey, maybe he'll get here, love the city, love the franchise, see how great it is to play here, and particularly after winning a championship, maybe now we can convince him to stay. That remains to be seen.
Tim, you're a shooter. Are you taking Steph in that shot, you know, every night? You draw on that one up every night. I know the inbounds played him, but they do get it to Steph. He gets a relatively open look. You living with that one most of the time?
I mean, think about what we're saying. You know, despite everything that team went through, you get a fairly clean look from the greatest shooter that's ever walked this earth, to, you know, in a spot that he's made thousands of shots in his career. Yeah, you're living with that. I think if he could do it again, he would realize he did not stay with the shot like the way that he normally does.
Mm.
It's almost like he was bailing out on it before he even hit the ground and backpedaling. Like, he did not stay strong with the shot. You know, Klay Thompson and even Steph, when he's hit, you know, big ones.
Yep.
And Klay Thompson's a great example of this in some of the ones that he's hit. The one he hit the other night, the game winner. You know, it's that extra land, and then you stay in one place, and you keep that arm extended to the rim to finish the shot. And Steph did not do that on that. He drifted, and he bailed out on it. because I think he felt rushed and he wanted to make sure he got it off.
Yeah.
He had more space and time than he thought he did. So he'd love to have it over again, but you can't ask for more than that if you're Steve Kerr. You got to live with that.
Lex, how about Klay Thompson last night? I mean, to come back out of the locker room and you know, obviously we find out later that it's a torn ACL. I imagine that just had to be pure adrenaline. But I mean, does he get elevated to legend status for coming out and not only making the free throws, but also, like, trying to get back on defense? Like, he wanted to play. He wanted to be in that game.
Yeah, I mean, and that kind of goes with his reputation. That's everything you've heard about Klay Thompson is that. You got to basically kill him to keep him off the court. You know, there are different degrees, and I can speak to this from experience. There are different degrees of an ACL tear. There's some that are called a vanilla ACL tear, which literally just the ACL and no surrounding peripheral damage. Because I can tell you right now, when I tore my ACL in 1996, I tore my ACL, PCL, MCL, cartilage.
Oh.
There's no way in hell I was going to be able to stand up on it. I got carried off the court. Never could have considered, you know, trying to jog and jump and come back out on the court and shoot free throws and all that stuff. So I'm curious to see what the official diagnosis is in terms of other damage, because it was inconceivable to me that that was his ACL when I saw him back in that tunnel trying to jog and trying to jump and get loose. And I said right then, I was watching the game, I'm ready to go on TV, and I said, well, I said, it can't be his ACL because there's no way he could be that active on it. But it's very possible it's what they call just a simple vanilla ACL tear that just slit that right in half, and he didn't have all that peripheral damage. But I can tell you, he probably got a lot of swelling in there today. But I give him a lot of credit, man, for wanting to stay in there and understanding this. Hey, I'm going to go shoot these free throws, because if this isn't something serious, I might go back here, get this thing wrapped up, and come out and try to finish this game. But if he didn't shoot the free throws, he wasn't going to be allowed to do that. So I give him credit for that.
So as it relates to the future now, for next season, you're not going to have Klay Thompson, most likely, at least until February or March. No KD, and we'll see what happens in free agency. I don't know if the Warriors dynasty is over. I guess that will all be decided, you know, in the year or years to come, and especially what happens this summer. But isn't there sort of tyranny, right? The invincibility with which it felt like they had with Klay and KD and Steph, like, isn't that era over now?
Yeah, that part of it's gone. Now, I wouldn't rule out the Golden State Warriors staying, you know, as a contender in the Western Conference and potentially making it back to another NBA Finals. I would not rule that out, because whether KD stays or goes, Klay Thompson's going to come back, if not next year necessarily, but he will be, in my opinion, 100% because of the nature of his game. He's not relying on explosive ability.
Right.
He's a 6'7 shooter. Like, he's a guy that's going to get everything back. And if you got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and those guys are paired up, you got the greatest shooting tandem in the history of this league, how are you going to rule that team out by adding pieces? It was a great front office to make it another run at this thing. So I don't think those days are over, but the ease with which it looked, that's gone. It's now going to be a grinded-out challenge year after year for as long as Steph Curry can stay in his prime and continue to do these things at a high level. So you're not going to see that dominance where some nights it just looks comically easily. That's not going to happen again. But I'm not going to rule out this team, because there's so much uncertainty with so many teams that think they're next in line. I don't know what the landscape of the NBA is going to look like over the next two seasons.
Right.
So if they keep that constant, Steve Kerr and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the front office and probably Draymond Green, if they just keep that together, I'm not ruling that team out getting back to another final. Maybe you win another championship down the road.
Tim, Fred VanVleet was fantastic. How does a guy go from averaging, you know, 2 points per game in the Philly series, you know, being a bit player, not even that, shooting 3% from three, to what looked like, Tim, and you tell me if you agree, he was the second most important player for Toronto in these finals. I mean, his consistency in the finals, the big shots he kept knocking down. How do you get that confidence level like that? You just have a kid? Is that it? You have a kid and all of a sudden your confidence is sky high? Like, Tim, he went from nothing to one of their most important pieces literally in a span of the playoffs.
I was during the Philadelphia series, it got to the point where, and I know some people with the Toronto Raptors organization pretty well that do their TV and radio. And I was exchanging thoughts with them, and they didn't say it, but I did. I said, how the heck can they keep running Fred VanVleet out there? They got to go in a different direction. Because he looked like it was more than just not playing well. He looked like he had lost every ounce of confidence.
I'm with you, Tim.
Yeah. And that's where we were at. So it's literally one of the most dramatic turnarounds I've ever seen a guy have that wasn't related to his health in any way,
right?
That just was related to what was between his ears and then physically making it happen in one postseason.
I don't know you can even find another example of a guy that was struggling that badly, and particularly as a role player. Because when you're a role player and you're struggling like that,
right.
most likely your minutes are going to get cut and you're never going to get an opportunity. So I give Nick Nurse credit for staying with him.
Yep.
And giving him, continuing to give him 24, 25 minutes in games in which he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And I think more than anything, Fred VanVleet really needs to go give Nick Nurse a big hug, because the confidence he showed in him allowed him to fight through it and turn this around. And you're 100% right. Probably the second most important player. In fact, I heard last night, Doobie Brown.
He did.
Voted for him for MVP in the series.
Yep.
Don't miss the Jason and John Show, beginning at 11 a.m. on 92.9 FM ESPN. Celebrating a decade as Memphis at America's very best. This is WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett, WMFS Memphis, a radio.com sports station, 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis is recruiting.
We don't want to shy away from anything. We want this type of a group because we want to win a national championship. And we're going to hang the first banner in this building, or especially downtown at the FedEx Forum, then we're going to have to get talent. And with talent comes expectations, and that's what we want.
Memphis, Tigers, hoops, top five class, recruits, all the coverage, one place. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
They definitely underestimated what we could do.
Memphis's sports station.
Attention, CDLA drivers. McLane in Memphis has immediate opportunities for Class A drivers. Average $70,000 annually with a $7,500 sign-on bonus, depending on experience. Drivers can count on generous benefits starting day one, along with a four-day work week. Don't wait. To learn more, visit driveformcleanmemphis.com. That's driveformcleanmemphis.com. McLane Company is an equal opportunity employer.
It's Mattress Firm's 4th of July sale with a preview of our free event. This Friday through Sunday, enjoy our Father's Day deal and get a free adjustable bed base when you spend just $399. And get two free memory foam pillows and a free mattress protector when you take home your new bed for just $599. Plus, save up to $400 store-wide. Hurry in, your budget stretches further at Mattress Firm.
Offer valid with qualifying purchase. Restrictions apply. Valid at participating locations only. For offer details, visit mattressfirm.com/sale.
Your eyes and your smile, the two things people notice first. Delta Dental of Tennessee wants to help you keep both healthy. Now you can get Delta Dental plus Delta Vision in partnership with VSP. Talk to your employer or visit coveryourmouth.com today to learn more.
This is the story of Mrs. Clark, who has lived on this very block most of her 80 years, often seen walking to town or serving brownies to the neighborhood kids, and everyone loves her. 2 years ago, a certain family member moved in to look after Mrs. Clark, and that's when everything changed. Mrs. Clark became the victim of elder abuse.
Elder abuse is often closer to home than you think or want to believe. McGruff, the crime dog here. The National Crime Prevention Council wants you to know the signs of elder abuse. Bruises, isolation, reduced activities, poor hygiene, depression, and financial problems. Protect yourself and speak out if you recognize signs of abuse in others.
Elder abuse is a crime that affects over 2 million senior citizens every year. Even more astounding, it's most commonly committed by a family member or someone they trusted. If you suspect abuse, contact your local law enforcement agency. To learn more, go to ncpc.org/seniors. That's ncpc.org/seniors. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the U.S. Department of Justice.
Down home, we don't follow trends, we set them. Church's Bourbon Black Pepper Smokehouse Chicken is back. A half chicken kiss with a bourbon glaze, plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit for $5. Sink your teeth in before it's gone. Church's, bringing that down home flavor.
Offer valid at participating locations.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
At Indeed, we understand that when it comes to hiring, it's important to have a large talent pool to choose from. But sometimes too many good options can be overwhelming. That's why Indeed doesn't just give you access to a large pool of job seekers. We also offer screener tools that let you instantly narrow down your search. Hone in on hiring with Indeed. Experience Indeed for yourself today and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting at indeed.com/promo. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones, and if you're shopping for a new car, you need to check out the Hyundai Shopper Assurance Program. They are redefining the way people shop for a car, giving you information immediately, up front, in person, and online. They're aiming to save you time, and honestly, they just make shopping for a new car as much fun as driving the thing. Well, almost. Check it out today. Hyundai Shopper Assurance. Car shopping made better. Available at participating dealerships. Visit HyundaiUSA.com/shopperassurance for more details.
I was driving in my car and I smelled a number 5 with fries. Hadn't stopped for lunch, made me realize it was just my ride.
No.
But with a new Febreze car, I got it under control. Now they come in light or bold, choose how you roll. Febreze car, roll with me and breathe happy Febreze. La 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 la.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses, and it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations in Tennessee or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Loans at Ace are backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.